keep it real simple, keep it real simple. Bring everything right back to ground zero. Cause it all comes down to this. Love God and love people. We live in a world that keeps breaking. But if we wanna find a way to change it, it all comes down to this. Love God and love people.
What's going on, Simple Church? How y'all doing this morning? Come on! Good morning, Hula Hut in Dallas. Come on, man, give a little Dallas some love this morning. North Texas, what's going on? We are so thankful, whether you're in this room or whether you're watching at home or in a hula hut, man, which sounds crazy. Everybody's like, what's a hula hut? I'll show you in the next pre-show so you guys are wanting to know what's going on with all that. But we're excited about what's going on over there, and our good friends, again, are all putting their energy together to try to put a team together to launch that campus over there. So we just want to say thank you for all their effort. Can you give them a little love for all the volunteers that are making all that happen, everybody working over there? Great job. And speaking of volunteers, we are back, and we are opening childcare at the 9:30 hour now, starting this week, moving into next week. Come on, give them a little love as well. Come on, now you have childcare both hours. Good job, Christy and her team. So we also want you to know that it is a privilege to have you in this room, man. Thank you for coming to make it possible, because we know that there's a lot of people that are still watching online at home, and we're very, very thankful for you as well, because last week, a little bit of shocking information for you, the same amount of people that were in the room, that many people are watching at home or online. So let's give them a little welcome as well. Come on, man, we're glad. Thousands and thousands of people, which is crazy. In this past March, we did a series that we were talking about the church and how different we are. The series was It's Different. And we were talking about all of the things that make us different. And as I thought about that, particularly today, we're going into a partner party tonight, I thought, man, maybe we should bring that back a little bit and go a little bit more in depth on a couple of things that make us unique, because we are a very unique church. And yes, I said the word church because some people think, man, I don't know if you really are a church. I mean, traditionally, you think of a building that looks like this when you think of church. As I've told you in that It's Different series, we don't own any buildings. We're renting out a place like Hula Hut this morning in Dallas. We rent out the Shreveport Convention Center here. And we believe that it is not about the building that you meet in. We believe it is about these beautiful people right here. Whether you're online or in this room, look around at all these beautiful people here. And you go, well, how do you believe that, or why do you believe that? Well, today is going to be an in-depth look. So if you think that sometimes we're a little shallow or a little light, this is one of those ones you might want to get your pen and paper out and go, man, this is a pretty interesting, you know, thought-provoking topic. Because I did a little research this past week to prepare for this message. And to be honest, growing up in church my entire life, I never really knew what I'm about to share today. Some of this stuff's brand new to me. And I'm like, man, that's interesting. Now, one of the things that most of you probably know already, because you remember this as a kid, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, and what? There's the people. We know that it's really not about the church or the steeple, it's about the people. But when you look at Scripture, the true definition is a church is an assembly of believers. It is an assembly of people that come together. Now, if you don't know where that word comes from, you got to go back thousands of years ago. And in the process of them writing out this scripture, they didn't have the word church in there. There were different languages, all right? One was Greek. That is where you understand. That's the language that it was written in. And the word, you ready for this, for church is ekklesia, all right? I'm going to put this on the screen for you. The word ekklesia in Greek, it is what is commonly translated into the English word church. Now you go, well, why in the world are you talking about all of this? Because when you start thinking church and you start talking church, people think that they know and they try to explain it, when the truth is it's really maybe a little bit more in-depth than you might think. Now, I also looked up, where was the first reference of this ekklesia, or this assembly of people together, in the Scripture? In Matthew chapter 16, particularly in the New Testament, this is the exact translation and the exact location the first time it talked about the assembly of believers. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my ekklesia, or my church. I will build my assembly of people. And the powers of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, here's what's been so awesome. This scripture has absolutely come true. Because even through a pandemic, in this past couple of years, what, a year and a half or so, we realized that the church still was able to move on, and it was still able to grow, and it was still able to have an impact. And it was not about the building. It was about the people. And this is why, again, when Jesus was telling Peter, hey, man, I'm going to build my church, not a building, not a facility, but the people. And Peter, I'm going to build it on, I'm going to build it on someone like you. And this is something that the power of hell will not be able to stop it. Now, for the record today, in the Simple Church, we assemble today just like they did thousands of years ago, believing in Jesus. Can I get an amen? This is why we gather. We have fun. We enjoy it. We do pre-shows, and we have cut-up times, and we do music, and we have all these different things. But our number one reason that we are gathering is because we believe in Jesus. We are not a nonprofit today. Although people go, well, listen, I heard you have a nonprofit status and you have a do-good store and all these things. Yes, but we're not gathering as a nonprofit today. We're gathering as a church. We're also not gathering as a cult, although some people have called us that over the years, all right? We've never passed out juice, you know what I'm saying? We've never done any of those weird things that ever we talked about being in a cult. Now, it is true that my kids did grow up and they were following a cult leader when they were little. And you're going, what? Yes, I did a little research, and this is him right here. I don't know if y'all know it. I thought this was funny. He's off the wall, totally unrealistic, yet they follow him anywhere. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Now, if you don't really understand, and you go, that's a little harsh to say that Barney is a cult. Look at this. Here's another image for you. Look, call now and belong, all right? Well, it was all fun and games when they were kids. You're going, well, man, nobody watches Barney anymore. I'm talking to you Peppa Pig parents, too, because here's the other cult. They got tattoos. Having a little fun with it. There are not cults that we are following. We're not talking about. We're having a little fun today. And in our culture, we know that there are people that follow a lot of different things. And it is true that we are different. We don't care about the clothes you're wearing. We don't take offerings. We don't own buildings. And then that last series called It's Different, you can find out more about that. But as we go to the next part of today, I want you to know that many people watched that series and it opened their eyes to exactly what the Simple Church is about. For example, here is one email that I received, and this is pretty awesome because he just explains that, hey man, I'm a traditional Baptist, I'm not a huge fan of the music of Simple Church, oh, it's okay, not everybody likes all that, but however, your sermon spoke directly to me today about being different in our music, our dress, and our fun. Worship is the only thing that matters, and you explain that true worship involves not just sitting in the service, thinking it over and over a million times that God is good, but it really is about the way we live our lives and the way we present our hearts. And now I know what I was doing there. Thank you for the message. Come on, man, give him a little love. Some people criticize me for going into these explanations at times. They're like, man, we've been doing this for 14 years. Why do you have to keep explaining it? I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a lot of new people that watch every Sunday and a lot of new people that attend every Sunday. Glad to give them a little love. Glad for him coming. Thanks for being here. Thanks for sitting in Hula Hut or in here, because we know it's a little weird. I mean, you're gathering at a restaurant or you're gathering here in the convention center. And you're going, man, this doesn't feel like church. It's a little weird. Well, hopefully, by the time we get through this message, you will understand that the Simple Church's vision is not just exclusive to me. It's not like, well, Justin's so smart, he came up with this idea. No, the truth is, I really believe it's very biblical. I believe that what we're going to walk through today is a biblical look inside the church and what we should be doing today. And although some people criticize it and some people really don't understand it, my heart is to help, not to hurt anyone's feelings. So sometimes I talk about growing up in church and the way I grew up in church. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you my experience. My family did really worry about what clothes we were wearing. We fought over it in the car getting ready to go. I didn't want to have to fight with that anymore. Our friends, again, fought over the money part of church. They were like, all they care about is the money. That's all they do is take offerings and build buildings and blah, blah, blah. I didn't want to be a part of that. I wanted to be a part of a church that was trying to help people find their answer, their purpose. I wanted them to understand that God really does have a plan, that Jesus came to this earth to, matter of fact, turn religion upside down. And he got the focus off of everything that the religious culture was focused on for one purpose, to change the world. That's why I'm thankful that you're watching. That's why I'm thankful you're here. And I am grateful for the last 14 years because we've seen God do some amazing stuff. But people still have questions. People still come up and go, well, hey, man, let me ask you this. 14 years of it. A lot of people don't know. That's why I love that It's Different series. You can see it on YouTube. It explains a lot about the Simple Church. But today, this is one of the questions that people come up to me and ask all of the time. Particularly, I had an interview with Harvard. How awesome is that? Harvard University called me during the pandemic, and they wanted to know what we were doing with everything that was going on, and they were trying to get their perspective, and I thought, man, this is cool. And in the past, we've had Wall Street Journal contact us, which is pretty awesome. But these are the questions these outside organizations ask us, and sometimes even people in Shreveport-Bossier. They will ask questions like this. Hey, Brother Justin, how many members do you have? How many members are at the Simple Church? Now, it's a little bit old school, but I understand it because I grew up in church, and maybe you saw a board like this. Does anybody remember these kind of boards? This is, let me go ahead and throw it up there. Yeah, right here. It is this board that kind of, they tallied everything. Does anybody remember this? Yeah. What happened? There we go. It is this idea of they're going, hey, what was our attendance a year ago? How many are here? Then they had enrollment, or another word for membership, right? Our Sunday school membership. And then the attendance last Sunday, and then they always put the offering up too. They wanted to know. And then they would kind of look at you and go, y'all were a little short last week, you know, get it straight. Because this was the culture. So when people are saying, well, how many members do you have? How much of this? Whatever. Let me just go ahead and set the record straight now. Be thankful you're watching today. Be thankful you're here. You ready? Take a deep breath, and here is a fact about Simple Church. We are not looking for members to join our church. You've never heard that before. People are like, what? What do you mean? Please write this down and remember this. We're not looking for anybody to join our church. Some of you may say, well, is that biblical? I mean, is that really what you're adjusting? Come on now, are you sure about that? Just listen to me. Hang on through the whole message. I did some research. And when you talk about church membership, do you realize that that really is a more modern approach, not necessarily found in the New Testament, although they quote some things, but there was not a membership. They didn't go from town to town signing a membership card. Hey, would you like to join? We're the Church of Jesus. Sign this card. They didn't. Matter of fact, who started it and who really had the first influence of having membership was the Catholic Church. Now, I grew up Catholic. I'm not making fun of Catholic. I'm not talking bad about Catholic. I'm just saying that was the first organized group that was like, hey, we're going to create some kind of membership. Then early Protestants did the same thing. As a matter of fact, the Puritans of the 1600s created membership with the Catholics. They started saying, hey, if the Catholics have it, then we need to have membership. And then they made it very complicated that if you were going to be a part of a church or be a member of a church, it was extremely complicated. As a matter of fact, the rules and stuff that they put in place, this is the one that was probably most fascinating to me. And you're probably familiar with this if you grew up in church. But once you became a member, so you joined, there was not a whole lot of easy ways to get out. For example, this is a quote directly from some of the membership records that we have that we looked up in the history. There are only three lawful ways, which is funny, it's like lawful ways, out of a local congregation: by death. Well, that's exciting right there, right? You're here forever. By letter of transfer, people ask us all the time, I want to join, but can I transfer my letter? We don't transfer letters at Simple Church. I'll explain that in a minute, but that's the other reason why you grew up that way. And then by excommunication. Now you're like, what is excommunication? For you that don't know, here's a slide. This is it. A punishment from the Roman Catholic Church that denied a person's access to the sacraments. Now, the reason I put this up here is because this is also connected to membership. It was sacrament related. You couldn't take the Lord's Supper or communion. You couldn't be a part of baptism unless you were a member. So they did it as an exclusive rights. They were like, hey, you're not going to be a part of this unless we say you can, and then we're making this agreement. And if we don't like the way things are going on, we're telling you to get out. You can get out by death. You can transfer your letter, or excommunication. So now you may be asking, like me, well, where did they get member from? Where did they actually get the word membership? Well, I'm glad you asked that because it's a little bit of a history lesson, but it was fascinating to me. When you look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a lot of biblical talk about members, okay? For example, here's the old King James Version. Anybody grow up with King James? Let's have a little fun. Here we go. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. This is where they get it. You got to love the ye's in there, right? Now ye. And this is why they were saying, now you are the body of Christ, and you are a member of it. Now, I went to Brian Reed, our theologian in the Simple Church office, and I said, Brian, this is the first reference or one of the first references where they were talking about that. And he was like, yeah, but they were talking about like member of a body, like your arm is a member. I said, I know, but this is how membership came about. They quoted scriptures like this. Now, in the King James, it's pretty easy to understand because it was like the word member is there. So it went from member to membership. You're a part of the Christ, body of Christ. But there's also another translation. And this is a good point because this is the NIV. It's not a real modern translation. It's just more modern than the King James Version. It says this, now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a what? You're just a part of it. So when you go, hey, listen, man, I'm not just about being a member. You are a part of it. So call it semantics, call it silly, call it whatever you want. We chose 14 years ago to use a different word. Are you ready? And that is partner, partner, not podna. Y'all see me? You know what I'm saying? So when somebody goes, what are you talking about? Well, if you're going to be a part of Simple Church, as we are a part of the body of Christ, we're not saying, howdy, podna. That's not it. I don't want to get you hungry. Think about Podner's barbecue. It is partner. Now, you probably are wondering, why in the world do you care about the words? Well, what difference does it make if it's member or if it's partner? I mean, what are you talking about? Well, it's kind of silly, you may think that, but there's a reason that we switched from using the word membership to partners. And you go, why? Just explain that. That's why I'm glad you're here. That's why I'm glad you're watching, because we are different. You won't hear this anywhere else that I know of. And this is very different. Here it is. Because membership in our culture equals receiving benefits. Can I get an amen? Now you go, I don't know if I should amen that or not. I'll give you a couple examples. If you are a member of a health club, why are you joining the health club? If you're a member of a country club, why are you joining a country club? Because there are certain benefits that you receive by being a member. That is also why the early church did the same thing. Hey, the only way you're going to get the Lord's Supper, the only way you're going to get baptism is when you are a member. And if you don't, then we cannot serve you. You're not allowed to partake. And if you've ever been a part, you understand that. And the word also implies to be served. When you say, hey, I'm a member of whatever, it is to be served. I'm going to give you an example. Here's an annual membership card. Then you go, well, what is this of? It is from a garden club. In the garden club, they're saying, hey, you get year-round free admission to the garden, members-only programs and previews, free admission from your dog. Isn't that awesome? Right? Only a member gets that. But it goes through all of the benefits, 10% off discount when you shop and you're a member, because it's saying when you join us and you become a member, we're going to give you all of these things. We're here to serve you. How can we serve you? How can we serve you? So we all grow up in church doing the exact same thing. When you're thinking about being a part of a church, you're going, what's in it for me? Is the building a building I like? What does it look like? What do they have? Do they have children's rooms? They have kids' rooms? Do they have comfortable chairs? Is the air conditioning good? Well, I like it. Is the parking good? You walk through anything and everything to go, how is it going to be better and easy for me? Do I like the music? Do I not like the music? And is the preacher good or is he not good? Now, obviously here, you don't even have to have the preacher debate. It's obvious, right? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. You know that's why you join. If some people are going, well, I don't like these things, but I like this. And your focus is me, 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 me. That is a mistake of the church because it is not biblical. There was no membership that they were asking in the early church, like, I wonder if it's going to be good for me. I wonder if it's going to be something in here for me. They were actually in a partnership. They were actually not worried about being a member. They were saying, man, I am in this. Now you go, well, Justin, what do you mean partnership? Well, a partnership, unlike a membership, hey, is when the lights work. No, it's when you're working together. All right, so let's put this up here. This is a big difference. A membership is give me, give me, give me. A partnership is let's do this together. Equal energy, equal effort to accomplish a goal that you're agreeing on. You're saying, hey, we are in this together to accomplish this goal, whatever that goal may be, whether that's reaching more people for Christ, whether that is serving the homeless, whether it's drilling a water well, whatever it may be. It is a totally different way to do and experience church. We're not looking for you to join this church and be a member. When someone asked me, when Harvard asked me or Wall Street Journal, how many members? I'm like, man, we don't even have membership. What? What are you talking about? Well, we don't take offerings either. Oh my gosh, you can't. You are a cult. Oh my gosh, he's a cult. No, we're looking for people like the early church, like the New Testament, to partner with us to follow Jesus and make a huge difference. So here's the thing. Write this down, please. All right, if you want to be a part of Simple Church, if you're partnering with us, here are the two opposing ideas. What do I get? I'll put it on here for you. Next screen, please. Versus what can I give? This is it. Do you come in going, what do I get out of this? Now, true, we hit some golf balls out in the pre-show. We do pretty good music. I think they do excellent music. We have different things that we offer you, from kiosks to help you with your life groups and FX boxes to help with your kids. And so you're getting things, but it is a mindset for us. We don't want people coming in the church going, hey, what do I get? Give me, give me, give me, give me. We believe that based on the New Testament and on Scripture, it is really more about a partnership, which is, what can I give? Now you go, Justin, you better prove this. It's not really hard to prove. Matter of fact, we have so Americanized church and Americanized this whole membership thing that all we really know is the earlier part of what I'm talking about. Hey, do we like what they do? Do we like their buildings? Do we like their children's program? Do we like the singer? Do we like the lights? Do we like the air conditioning? Whatever. You're going, do I like? What's in this for me? And when you look in the early church, this will not shock any of you, which, just remember this, that's who we're supposed to be emulating, is Jesus and the early church. Not an American idea of that, but what were they doing? We're following Jesus' example because they were following Jesus. They were closer to him, they walked with him, and they saw it, and they were like, man, we got to be more like him. Acts chapter 4. You know, most don't know this, but why it's called Acts, it was the Acts of the early church. It was like, this is what it looks like. This is what it was acting like. These are the experiences of the early church. So when they wrote this stuff down, like, for example, in Acts 4, the group of believers are ecclesia. That's another example. You can find another translation. The church, it all depends, was one in mind and heart. So first off, we already know that's a struggle, because right now you have Republicans and Democrats. You have this group versus that group. We have a nationalism versus whether we're going to follow Jesus, and it's like everybody's fighting and arguing. So already Jesus would be like, oh my gosh, what happened? That's why in the Simple Church, you don't hear me going through politics. That's why you don't hear me getting up here and talking, well, this is what I think, and this is what you think, and this is what you need to do, because that ain't my fight. My fight is to do everything we can to follow the example of the early church, because they were following the example of Jesus. And they saw Jesus' prayer when he ended his life, when he was close to going to the cross and he was close to going to heaven and the resurrection. He said, man, God, my one prayer is that they would be one. That means racism is addressed, because the church was like, dude, I don't care what color skin you are. I don't care what background you have. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. We are one because we are following Jesus. This is why he said, man, they were, the New Testament, they got it. Acts got it. One heart, one mind. And this is crazy. And none of them said that any of their belongings were their own. Now, you already know, that's my car, that's my boat, that's my house, this is my outfit, you know. You go through, everything's yours. Matter of fact, in the church, you already know this is my seat. They better not sit in my seat. Tell me if I'm wrong. I grew up in church, and there were certain rows that they were like, that's Sister So-and-so's row, don't sit on that row. I'm like, oh my gosh. We had a worship band. We used to travel around America. Alan's in the band, Greg Daniel. We'd go to different churches, and they're like, hey, man, listen, our members like it this way. I remember going to South Alabama, and we had a black preacher that was going to preach with us, open eyes. They wouldn't let the black preacher on the stage. And open eyes, the white guys, which we were all white guys, we all walked in, and they were like, what's going on? His name is Dwight Singleton. Dwight Singleton's an amazing evangelist. He was there to do a youth event. He had been doing all the youth stuff in the other building, which they didn't know he was there. He's coming now to do the Sunday morning part where we're going to do the music and Dwight's going to speak. And the deacons revolted. In my lifetime, I saw this. You want to know why I don't care what color you are? Because I'm sick of it. We are one color. We are one race. We are one nation under God. It is not about this side or that side. So guess what? The church has to demonstrate that. That's why I'm so thankful for Michael and Eric and everybody. We're not going to avoid it. We should discuss it. We should address it. And Open Eyes went out and we said, we're not playing if Dwight ain't preaching. We're out. Now, this is way before Assembly Church existed, but this lets you know our heart. This is why, because this is the thing. It wasn't about what we owned. It was like, that's our brother. That's our friend. We're in this together. It was as close as we could get to what, man, Jesus was really hoping for. And guess what? He did. The church turned on the deacons and outvoted them in the midst and let Dwight speak. And guess what? Revival broke out in that little church. That's the truth. You can ask the guys. I remember seeing people walk down. I'm like, oh, man, all right, God, this is you, bro. Okay, because this is jacked up. South Alabama, fighting out there. They're out there smoking, by the way. They ain't coming in our turn. It's a temple of God right here. I'm like, come on, man. Come on, y'all. We know we ain't got it right. We're all human. We mess up. We're fallen. But this is the thing. We got to try our best. We got to try our best to be like Jesus. So here it is. Nothing they had belonged to their own. The next screen, please. But they shared with one another everything they had. This is why when you come to Assembly Church, I don't ask for money for donuts or your drinks or for your coffee. There's not a coffee can. Hey, listen, when you come up and you get your clamshell or you get your drink, put a dollar in there because this stuff ain't free, if y'all didn't know that. We need something in this pen. That is the American church. That's the way you grew up. It was like membership. You got to pay for benefits. Hey, give me money, and then you get the benefit. No, man, listen, everything they had. There was no one in the group who was in need. God, what I wish that the Assembly Church would give and that we could accomplish that same goal. So that when you came in, you go, man, I'm in a bind. So-and-so's in a bind. I wish we could just go, do it, do it, do it, do it. Why? Because this was the early church. So when you're worried about, no, what's in it for me? I'll give if it's a building that's going to help my kids. I'll give if it's something that I believe in and it's going to benefit me directly. That wasn't the early church. It was the opposite. This is what's so mind-blowing is here we are, 2021, and we're still going through the same old stuff. And those who own fields or houses, you ready? Would sell them. They were even to the point of going, dude, I'm giving up what I got. Bring the money and receive from the sale and turn it over to the apostles. Why? Because the money then was distributed according to the needs of the church? No, of the people. Oh, yeah, that's right. The people are the church. See, they gathered thinking one thing. In 14 years, we've messed up a lot and we're not perfect. You don't have to like the music. You may not even like the preacher. You don't like anything about it. You don't like the fact that we own buildings. You don't like the fact that we have child, whatever. I don't care about it. When I see Jesus, when I look at him eye to eyeball to eyeball, what I am going to be most proud of and most committed to in this room is this, is that we are challenging you to gather to help other people. We're not telling you, hey, man, give me for us. We need more. No, it was like, man, they gathered to give to help meet other people's needs. And you know what's amazing? Hang on. If you grew up in church, whoo, take a deep breath. Like, just as passionate today. This is why Simple Church exists. This is why I don't care if there's 20 of us in this room. We started with 80. If I went back to 80 and we can still accomplish this, I will have lived my dream. But now that North Dallas, you're sitting in the hula hut and going, man, is this really for me? I ain't looking to start another church with great worship. I don't want to sell a book. I'm not looking to, I was going to say pimp my product. Is that still legal? Don't know if it is or not. Might be over the edge. But you know, I ain't selling anything. I just want to change Shreveport, Bossier, Frisco, the world. And how we do that is by loving and giving sacrificially, not for our own benefit. That's a fact. Yes, that's worth it. That's the facts. That's the scripture. And here's what's going to just hang in there, man. This blows my mind because I grew up in church. The majority of my life, from the time I was young, all the way through, both Catholic and Baptist, in the early church, it was never by guilt or manipulation. Do what? They never went to the crowd and were like, well, listen, times are tough in 2020. Man, I don't know if the church is going to make it. So if you really love Jesus, go ahead and take out your wallet and let's pass that plate one more time because I think we can get there. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Everyone must make up his own mind as how much he should give. Don't force or manipulate anyone to give more than he really wants to. They were so adamant about going, listen, dude, we know not everybody's at the same place, but we're not going to be in a place that's like, hey, man, you need to, and if you were real committed, and if you were really that, let's see your card. Let's see how you're going to do it. Let me check everything out, see if you're really going to make it or not. Oh, they're not committed. They're not going to do it. He's not as good as her, and that's a good family. That's a solid family. That means they got money. They're solid family. Bring them on in. The Simple Church for 14 years has been adamant and committed, even through a pandemic, to never get up and manipulate or try to guilt you into doing something that I'm not confident that God wants us to do. So I'm not trying to go, oh, let's turn it and figure out how we're going to do it. We're going, hey, listen, man, and you may brag on you. You may give you a little pat on the back of the attaboy. You've done great. And most people, Harvard, Wall Street Journal goes, you mean tell me you've never passed a plate, you've never taken an offering, and you meet your budget, and you're able to give away stuff, and you're able to help kids get bikes, and kids get shoes, and water wells get drilled, and make sure that police officers get trained, and firefighters get their training, and you're, how do you do that? Because you get it. Can you give yourself a little love right there and let God know, God, we're thankful. We're thankful that they get it. And this is the thing, 2 Corinthians continues, cheerful givers are the ones God prizes. So if you can't give cheerfully, man, just save it, bro. If you can't get to the point where you're like, don't do it, dude, trust me. We won't wait. God wants more than what we want. And there's always that tension, but I'm telling you, I mean it. Don't go, oh, gosh, I got to. Oh, my gosh, how am I going? No, man, he's looking for somebody. Go, dude, God, it's my honor to give. It's my honor to be a part of it. Now, Justin, can you describe the Simple Church partnership? Can you tell me what it looks like or what it feels like? Yes, I can. And I was reminded this past week when I went to make a visit, and here's what it looks like. It is my boy Jack, Jack Goodman. Jack passed away this week, and many of you never saw Jack. You never know who he was. You didn't even know anything about him. But when Simple Church started, he was a senior adult when it even started. And he was an educator in our school system. He gave his life to teach kids, to serve kids. He was served in our military. He gave his life to serve this great country. And then when he came to Simple Church, someone who had, again, maybe not so traditional, maybe not the way that you grew up doing everything, a senior adult walked in and said, Justin, I'm here to help. What can I do to serve? Not what's in it for me, but how can I give? I want to partner with you. Not to receive benefits, but to give my life away. And guess what this old guy did right there? He's standing in front of the case right there because that old guy, unlike everybody wanted him to, they were like, don't do this, Jack. He would climb the ladder and hang signs when we met in the theater. And everybody said, that old man don't need to be on that ladder. And Jack said, don't make this old man come down off this ladder because I'm going to keep serving. And he served and he served and he served from the time he got involved. He gave and he gave and he gave. And this week, we will bury him. But I won't be crying because I don't know where he's at. I'll be crying because, sure, I want to see him again and I'll miss him. I enjoyed our last visit. But I know he's going to be in heaven. And I know he knows Jesus. And how do you know that, Justin? Because of the way he lived his life. Not the songs he sang, not the sermons that he quoted, but the way he served and sacrificed over and over and over. And he did it because he knew Jesus, not because he was a member of some church. And we just partnered together to go, Jack, let me give you a way to do that. I can tell you another way. What does it look like? How does this thing work its way out? This is going to blow your mind a little bit, but it's also my friend Bobby Stevenson. Let me put this picture up here, make you laugh a little bit. Now you're going, who's Bobby Stevenson? It's Garth right here. There he is right there. This was me and Bobby. Me and Bobby, we started working together at Gadzooks. We actually met in the bars back in the day. Can I get an amen on that? All right. We met in the bars back in the day. He was managing a band called Exit. I had a band, Alan Smith had a band called Tangent I sang in. And we met through that. And then we started working together at Gadzooks, and we were in a doo-dah parade. It was his 60th birthday yesterday. Can you give him a little happy birthday? Come on, happy birthday. We started in Gadzooks, but it went from there because here he is again, me and him, we were on a senior trip together. We ended up working in student ministry and serving together, going all across this great country and other countries, loving on kids and serving on kids. And Bobby was, once again, not someone going, gimme, 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 gimme. All Bobby did from the time I've known him is he showed up and showed me how to serve. When we were in the bars, when everybody made fun of him, when everybody said it don't make any sense, Bobby just served the world and the band. He just served. He just gave. When we got into student ministry and I asked him to come in and invited him to come in, which once again, I'm thankful, 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 because all he did was serve and give. If it was backdrops we were making or trips we were going on, how can I serve? And then in the Simple Church's history, we also launched the Do Good Store. And when I was trying to figure out how we were going to do the Simple Church and how we were going to do the Do Good Store, Bobby was one of the first people that I called and said, man, can you help me pull it off? And here he is right there with Donnie and Lisa, because the dream was built on this stage. And who built it with me? Bobby. You know why? Because he is never a guy to go, gimme, gimme, gimme. I want recognition. I need more money for this. He was the guy who said, I'm just going to serve and I'm going to give sacrificially over and over and over again. Now, if you don't recognize him from this picture, you're going to recognize him from this next one, because here he is in the beard. And this picture right here is with him and Julie and Zoe when they were going out to deliver food boxes and meet needs right here in the Simple Church. And why do I say that? To build Bobby up. Bobby will be mortified I'm talking about it, but I'm telling him that I love him and that I value it, because talk is cheap. And when you talk about being a member somewhere, it's not about what can I get out of this. You have to have the Bobbies. You have to have the Uncle Jacks. You have to have the people in this room that go, dude, I'm not in this to get. I need to find a way to give my life away. And when I give my life away, I find purpose and I find value. And it ain't about being I'm a member of the Simple Church. If you think I want somebody to sit and sing and listen to a sermon and I clap and think that's enough, you're signing up for the wrong church. I'm looking for someone to follow the New Testament example of Jesus. What I want to do is lead you in that same journey, and that we would have a church who loves and follows Jesus into the most uncomfortable, unpredictable, crazy circumstances and situations ever, all to help serve and love and give people a chance and the hope that is found in Christ. And if you think that it is just about sitting and singing and that's how it works, or letting your kids sit in a nice, comfortable environment, I'm telling you it's not. It's not biblical. We are in the whole concept of going, Jesus, help us to get uncomfortable. Help us to solve problems. Help us to be creative and find ways to inspire outsiders. Go, dude, I'm down with that. I want to be a part of that. So when we needed to do the Lego thing, guess who was involved? Bobby was involved. We did unbox, we're building the big pyramid out on the front. Bobby did that. Why? Because that's his gifting. That's his membership. That is his part of being a part. As I'm like, dude, let me use your gifts. God, help us do this. And it started 30 plus years ago when I said, can you paint a backdrop for a student ministry trip? And Bobby said, absolutely. And it ruined his life like it's ruined my life, because we've been on the journey to go, how can we give it away? How can we give more away of our time, of our energy, of our resources? And guess what? Bobby stood backstage in the pre-show just a minute ago, and he sent a text this morning when I sent him a text wishing him happy birthday. It's been the greatest blessing of my life. Don't you want that? Don't you go, good gosh, I need something to fulfill me. Listen, cars and stuff and more junk, don't do it. It doesn't work that way. That's why when the New Testament got together, they said, I'll sell my house. They didn't have cars, but maybe an ox. You know, I'm like, hey, I'll sell it all so I can follow and solve problems and meet needs. And it fulfilled them. That's why the shirt is saying what it's saying. It's not just a slogan. It is who we are. It is what we're about. And I know what some of you are thinking. Well, I think he talked more about money than he's ever talked about in a Simple Church. This is the money talk, honey. He's wanting our money. No. Let me tell you what I want. I want the same thing Jesus wants. He wants your life. Way more complicated than your money. And you want to know why sometimes it don't feel right and why it's not really working well? It's because he don't even have your money, but he certainly don't have your life. And you go, how do you know that? Oh, I can just look at you, just like you can look at me. And I can be selfish just like you, and I can focus on the wrong things just like you, and I can get prideful. I can go to what I grew up and what I heard and what I've experienced, and none of that honors Jesus. And what Jesus says, he's like, you gonna follow me? I'm gonna tell you what it's gonna look like. You ready? Here it is, Matthew 16. Matthew wrote it down, because when Jesus said it, he's like, whoa, this is heavy. Then Jesus said to his followers, his ecclesia, is assembly of people together. If you want to be my follower, you must stop thinking about yourself and what you want. Ouch. Unfortunately, in the American church and where we are, it is all about what you want. It is all about what's in it for you. It is all about give me, give me, give me. And Jesus is coming in and he's like, no, 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 no. This is the challenge. This is how it's going to be different. I'm talking about it's different. We're different. We're going to be different. How can you die? It's not about what you want. He meant death to self. Your old way is gone. And this is why when you look at baptism, this is why I would never keep you from baptism. You ready for this? When I've baptized around the world, I remember going back to Africa. I have a picture. And when I got to be a part of baptizing my African brothers, you know what brought us together in one heart and one mind? It's the fact that we were following Jesus and we didn't care about skin color. We didn't care about what neighborhood we were growing up in. All we cared about is, dude, all of us were followers of Jesus. And we said, hey, how can we celebrate that? How can this next person do it? Because we're going to be dead to our old self, dead to racism, dead to all of the stuff that divided us, dead to genocide, which they had gone through. We're dead to all of this pain, all this hate. We're done with all that. And we're coming out a new life. We're talking about a new, fresh beginning. And it unified us. So I'm from America and they're from Africa, but guess what unified us? Jesus. And guess what unified us? Our both desiring to die to self, to go, man, it ain't about me. Matter of fact, that day, I'll never forget this. They were like, hey, Josh, Pastor, we want you to baptize. I was fully dressed. I had on khakis and a shirt. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I'm like, I don't really want to get my pants wet. Can anybody know what I'm talking about? And Jesus is like, really? You're going to miss this moment of a lifetime because you don't want to get your pants wet? Shut up, whiner. And guess what I had to do? I got in the water. And by the way, was it heated? Keith, thank you for heating our water at baptism of Easter. Did you think we had heated water in Africa? That would be a no. And as we got in, guess what? Do you think any of them cared? No, this American cared because I've been raised like you. Why can't we have heated water? Oh my gosh, I don't have anything to change into. Do we have a towel? I need a towel. Where's my towel? Think about it. And the reason I put it up there, because that's what it means. It's like, hey, it can happen today just like it did thousands of years ago. When I was in Planet Fitness working out for the one time I did in my life, y'all remember that? One of you came up to me. He says, hey, here's my picture. I said, well, man, what's going on? He said, do you baptize me? Death to my old man. And I'm like going, man, it's not just Africa, it's here, because some of you moved you. Man, you're like, dude, I don't want to be that. Some of you still hadn't gone through in baptism. Listen, I don't need your baptism. We don't count them. We don't turn them into somewhere and go, well, we did this. I just want you to follow Jesus. And if you hadn't followed Jesus, then I want you to make that decision. If you hadn't gone public with baptism to say, I'm dying to my old man, then you need to get on there. Communicate with us. Let us know. So when we get ready to do our next one, we can make it happen because it changes your life. Look at his smile. He comes up to me in Planet Fitness. I mean, I'm just working out. I'm just kidding. I was walking around. What am I doing in here? He looks confused. He looks lost. I'm like, man, I don't know how to do it. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. I'm like, but maybe that's why God wanted me there, to remind me. Let me show you another beautiful picture. You want to talk about what baptism looks like? It's a beautiful picture of death to self. I don't know who took that picture at the time, but it's one of my favorites because it just shows you, man, I am willing to die. That's what baptism is. It's not like kind of playing with it. It's not like you go, do you understand? Death is death. It's over. There is no option. It's not like, well, I'm a Christian, kind of. I mean, I kind of do what I don't know. No, he was like, no, I'm looking for baptism. I'm looking for death. And when you die, you will follow. When you come out that water, you're new. And it changes the way you see things. It changes the way you look at your finances. It changes the way you look at your time. It changes everything. And you go, what does change look like? When you get out of baptism, here's one of my favorite baptism pictures. This is what it looks like. All people. No restrictions. When someone says, I want to go public, I need to make that happen. Welcome. Come on, that's who Simple Church is. Black, white, yellow, special. It doesn't matter to us. We want you to follow. Romans 6:4, when we were baptized, we died and we were buried with Christ. We were baptized so that we would have a new life. And Christ raised us to life. Can I get an amen somewhere? Amen. This is what you're doing. You're not raised to kind of, You're raised to a new way of life. Well, is it baptism alone? Nope, it's not just baptism alone. It's about following Jesus until the day you die. It's about everything that you have. It's about giving him all. It's about like, Bobby, here's my talents, here's my gifts, here's my abilities. I will give them to your kingdom and I will serve you. It's about whatever you have going, Jesus, this is it. It's Uncle Jack going, hey, listen, I'm old and everybody says I'm retired. I ain't retired. Give me the ladder. I'll hang the signs. This is the same option for you. So we have a partner party tonight. When you're trying to talk about, are you going to partner with us? We're not looking for people to say, well, I'm a member of Simple Church. We don't have members. So you're thinking, well, what happens? How do you transfer out? Do you have a transfer letter? No, you know how we know when someone's left? When you stop serving and you stop giving. And we just go, hey, they're not in. That's okay. There's another church maybe met their need, or maybe they're at a different place. But here's my bottom line. I'm looking for people to give everything that they have following him, to keep following and find that true life. I got a scripture for you. I'm going to put on the screen for you. You ready for this? If you give up your life for me, you will find true life. It is worth nothing for you to have the whole world if you yourself are lost. Dude, are you lost today? Are you lonely? Are you just looking for some, oh God, if I find this or if I find that job or if I find this girl? And by the way, there is no Mr. Right. Ask Angie. There is no Miss Right. You're looking for stuff you'll never find. You're going to get on this loop, and Jesus is like, no, the only way you're going to find your life is when you lose it. And if you don't, man, you're going to stay lost and lonely. And you're looking for purpose. The purpose has to be bigger than ourselves. That's why you were created. So when you partner with us, I'm not asking you to partner because the church, oh, we need you in the church. What I'm asking you is let's follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to take you to uncomfortable places. It's going to cost you more than you were really thinking you were going to pay, whether that's your time, your resources, your energy, your heart, everything. But in the end, you'll go, man, I'm living. I can tell you, I've lived with Bobby all around this world, all around this nation, whether it was in students or whatever we were doing. I've lived with Uncle Jack. I've lived with some of you on these trips. I've lived with you in this town when we see God doing something. But let me tell you something. Some of you are still sitting back. Well, I'm just trying to see if he's really a good preacher. If I don't really feel moved, I don't think I can come here. Oh, I don't really like his music. I'm really looking for something that can be a little bit better. Listen, dude, it ain't about any of that. I hope and pray you get our heart today. And if you're going, well, Justin, I'm really looking for the perfect church because we're pretty special. We have certain things we need. Let me give you something. There's no perfect people allowed in this church. Can I get an amen, all you regular partners? Because if you're looking for the perfect church, don't join it because you're going to mess it up. So if you think you're perfect, please don't join here. Please. I bet there's churches all around. We got more churches in this city than there are everywhere else. More churches per capita than anywhere. Don't go find somewhere else. But if you're looking to go, man, I'm messed up, jacked up, I want to follow Jesus, and I'm willing to die, come on in. We're looking for partners. And I have a feeling when you do that, your kids will learn from you, and your kids will see it, and they won't be leaving the church when they turn 18. They'll be going, how can I give my life to serve? Isn't that ironic? That in the modern world right now, we raise kids, we give them everything they want, children's program, all the stuff, student ministry, and then when they get to 18, 19, they're like, deuces. Why? Because it doesn't seem real to them. You know why it doesn't seem real to them? Because it's not real to us, parents. And you bought into the American lie for year after year going, well, just give me. If we build them more stuff that they like, then they're going to love it. If we build more, they're going to do it. No, the truth is when we learn to die, and we show the world that we're dying and we're willing to die and give to them and sacrifice for them, the world's definitely paying attention. So what does that look like in our modern world? Why don't we learn from individuals and organizations that are outside the church doing what the church should be doing? Watch.
Along historic Route 66 in northeast Oklahoma, you'll find Miami, the town of 13,000, hit hard by the pandemic. But its restaurants and residents are making challenging times a little easier.
22, order up.
One hot dish at a time.
This is our giving wall here at Zach's Cafe.
On this giving wall, anyone can offer any amount to pay for a meal up front.
We've been helped many times when we were in a position where we needed it.
Anyone can claim it, judgment-free, no questions asked.
Each meal we purchased, we added an extra meal, you know, to that and put it up on the wall.
The simple idea kicking off a movement of kindness in this tight-knit town.
We're a giving community. We take care of each other.
I just like to help people out.
There are lots of people out there now that need it.
Jennifer White put up the first giving wall back in February at her restaurant, The Doghouse.
I knew our town was awesome, but I didn't know that they were going to step up in such a big and impactful way.
After just one day, the wall was full of free meals.
All I've done is put up a sign and given people in our town the room to give. And they took up the torch and embraced it with a passion.
That spirit quickly spreading just up Main Street to Zach's Cafe.
We just started it and thought, well, we'll see how it goes. And it blew up. The community every single day is hanging tickets on the wall, every single day.
Between the two giving walls, the little town has made a big impact, donating more than 1,000 meals so far this year.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The generosity, a lifeline for neighbors like Mary Oyerly and her husband.
I think that that's wonderful. There's a lot of people that are good people, and I appreciate that.
A small town helping when it's needed most.
These meals truly matter to the people that come in and get them. It's been a tough year for everybody, and so why not do everything we can just to make people smile, make them feel warm inside and out, give them a hot meal.
Come on, y'all. How cool is that? Why does the news cover it? Why does the news cover it? Because they're going, man, God, I wish there was more of that. I promise you, if we'll follow Jesus, we'll be different. And when we begin to really follow him and die to ourselves, then people begin to notice and they recognize. You've already done it, many of you, but there's some in here, maybe you feel lost. This is your day. Father, I pray that today they would follow you. That it would not be about religion, it would not be about joining a church, it would be about a personal relationship with you. And that when they really understand that, and they really see what it was that you were doing, that you were serving and that you were dying to yourself so that we could live, then God, that they would accept that free gift of your death on the cross. And then they'd be reminded that you didn't just die on the cross, you overcame the grave to give us the power to overcome whatever circumstances and situations we are in ourselves. Then as baptism, we were buried to our old self, man, but we came out of that grave. We are new to follow you. Why? Because, God, this world needs it. I need it. They need it. And, God, help us as we partner together, as we follow you, to give to the people in this community that desperately need it, to change the world, whether it's in their local area, in this nation, or around the world. We can. We've seen it already happen. But, God, I can't wait to see what the future looks like. Let someone receive that free gift today that you've given. And then help them, God, to be willing to give everything they have as we follow you, as we partner together to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Can I get an amen somewhere? Come on. Amen.